It's the 5th of June 1999, and I'm here in Monkswood Avenue, and I'm talking to Alf Nichols, who spent a long time in the factory and has kindly agreed to tell us a few of his memories.
My father was employed in the RTPF during the First World War, and afterwards, he, as a young man, he wanted me to go into the factory. And as I was adopted by someone, I was rather pig-headed, perhaps is the word. I didn't accept his offer, but then I decided to apply. We went to the Labour Exchange on the Hertford Road and Southbury Road at Enfield, and we were interviewed by Mr. Hassler, who was the executive officer there, and he just nodded, and I was accepted, and I applied, of course, and I got in. I went to the local school only, and but I applied and I got in on the 28th of April 1935, and I went straight on to the gun cotton section. And being as my father worked in there, it seemed to me that I was being picked out for some reason for which I couldn't understand. And I went into the teasing room, and then I was transferred into the drying room of the
What do you have to
gun
do?
cotton.
Excuse me. What do you have to do in the teasing room and the drying? Can you,
In the teasing room, we had to remove all stay laces and
Oh yeah.
etc. from the gun cotton, and that was then go into the dryer where it was dried. It was a three-tier dryer, and then it came out and went into a winnower, which I was on that, and I was also given the in charge. I was always
With the
labeled.
willow, sorry, the willow, does that tease it all, that
Yes,
breaks it all up?
yes.
I
It's
see.
only a small one, but wasn't terribly big. They seemed to come to me, and they told me what I'd got to do, and it was heated by steam, and you had to keep going round to the back to look to the steam the gauge to see whether the steam valve, a steam gauge, was at the right temperature, because I wasn't allowed to get the heater too hot because of it. The gun cotton catching dry because it was
Oh, well, this was drying the gun cotton. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
before it's processed. It's not wasn't processed, it was just gun cotton.
Oh, yeah.
We started at 7:30 and finished at 4:30, no overtime. And then when all this was done, it were put into tins and went through into the acid, but where it was dipped in the mixed acid, which I did not work in that department. And then it came out at the other end into the what we termed the big room. The wages were £2.70 a week, and I got married on that.
Oh yeah.
So
That what time was it? What year would that be roughly?
35.
35. Oh yeah.
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 And in 1940s, in 36, oh, I went through the various sections of, no, I'm still in the gun cotton. Now I'm lost now. But in 1936, I was transferred to the NG section. And Arthur Barker, he was transferred to the acid factory on the NG
Was he
section.
your mate? No.
No,
Oh,
we were
no.
not friends. We
Oh,
knew
no.
one another
Oh,
well.
just same section, yeah.
And then from when I was on the NG section, there were,
Would this be at top end?
yes, there was the gun cotton came in primers. from the Goncombe section at about half a pound each in blocks. They were pressed and they were put into stoves and dried at 70 degrees Fahrenheit. I went all through those and then I was made stove chargeman and had to go around every 2 hours taking the temperature of the various stoves.
So the stoves weren't that hot, you could walk about in them?
No, you couldn't.
It was, are you sure it's 70 Fahrenheit?
Yes.
Not 70 centigrade?
No, I don't think so.
No, oh well anyway,
I think
yes,
it was I'll say it, but I don't think it was centigrade.
But it's quite hot in there, yes.
Too hot. And
you had to check all those.
The English stove chargeman, I had to tell the people when they could go into the stove and withdraw the, as we used to say, draw the primers out, and they went to the mixing houses. And then from there, I was transferred into the Pickwright section, which is the powder that is a plastic powder that was used for naval guns.
Ah, yes.
And then I was transferred back again.
Was the Pickwright on the north side or the south?
North side.
Was it? Yes, oh yeah.
And I was on that for a while, and then I was transferred again to the stove area because, with a view of going on to the NG manufacturer section that was making the nitroglycerin.
Oh, yeah.
That you had 8 weeks training on that, and your wages came down accordingly. And when you passed, you went up to a higher rate, of course. I was on that for quite a few years.
The wages were still only £2 or £3, I suppose, but they.
What, the wages? Oh, £2.59.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
3 guineas.
Yeah.
Oh, then yeah. Went up to £3.13. With shift work, I was earning nearly £5, which was a good.
It was, yes, then. Well, yes, before the war.
Then in the dry mixing houses as well, that was when the gun cotton primers came in. It was about £40 in each bag, and there was approximately £19 of nitroglycerin poured onto them.
Oh, and yes.
That was all mixed together, and then that went down to the cordite section for pressing.
That was all mixed by hand, I think.
Yes.
Wasn't it? Well, I bet you get some headaches in that, would you?
Oh, very bad headache. You've got money, that's all you've got about. And then, of course, all the transport was done by boat. Well, we had a. Bill Parrish was one of the foremen, and Teddy Spencer, and he was stove chargeman. And when I was on a stove chargeman, he used to sit on the step in the chargeman's hut. So when I was, I know I'm going back a bit here, stove chargeman, I too sat on the step, and he came along and told me to get off because I would get my clothes dirty. And I said, well, you used to sit here, Teddy. Yeah, but he said, I'm not a worker now, I'm a foreman. So, as I was saying, all the transport was done by boat, and we had one man in particular, Freddie Green by name. He would not, if he could help it, pull the boat. Well, when he went to jump on, we pulled the boat so the back went out and he went in the cut. We didn't do that on purpose, of course. It was just accident.
Yeah, of course, yes, naturally, yes. Was it true that if you fell in the river, you went down the, in the cut, you went and had a top of whiskey in the surgery or
no,
something?
No, never had any. Well, you went to the surgery, but I don't think you got any whiskey. And on canteen facilities, you took sandwiches. There was no hot. You could get hot water to make tea, but
excuse me. At the top end there, there is an old canteen building, the CE canteen, yes, they call it. Is, would you go in there? Would they just eat sandwiches in there? There was no cooking.
Oh no, you all had your sandwiches.
Could
in
you
there.
Warm your dinner up? Was there
no.
Any, oh no.
No. And they were clean and dirty canteens. That's where the.
Oh yeah.
They were dirty because they were people who worked on the plantation.
Mm.
There was canteens for the CE section, which was compound interest section, and canteen for the big light section.
Oh.
And then of course the other canteen was for the people who worked on the clean, on the going.
Oh, it's with clean clothing and that, they.
Yes.
Mm.
And of course the CE, everyone, I had the opportunity to go on to the CE, but you turned yellow, and so I refused, but
oh, yes.
I got, that's when I got transferred to the pick right section, which was just ordinary, but that was certain things you do. You had, it was dirty clothes, but that was various things. You had to break it up and dump it and put it through the machine and etc.
Mill it and grind it up all up. And
yes.
Oh, yes.
And then that was used for the
The flash.
Naval.
Oh yes. Tell me, can you remember what you know the acid factory at Top End?
I don't know anything.
Oh, you don't
about
know anything. I only walked past it when I was there. I didn't ever go in it. It looked like a hell's kitchen, you know, acid boiling and fumes.
Oh,
and
they did. They did all the acid.
Do you
acid.
Remember they had those baths where they jumped in if you got acid on
oh,
your
own? Oh, yes.
Hmm. But I never went in there. Of course, we weren't allowed to.
When I applied for the helmer's job, one of the questions they asked me was, had I been in the acid factory? And I could have said no, but I was told, oh yes, you had. And because I'd actually walked down there, that was being in the acid factory.
That was one of the qualifications
that
for getting on the hill.
You had to be through the acid factory before you go on the hill. And then
Did you work on the hill then?
Oh, I was on, yes, on the hill.
Ever any problems with did you ever have to, what they call it, when they dump a charge in the...
Oh, no charge.
No.
Not in the drowning drain.
No, drowning. Oh, yeah.
I was trained in Hillman.
Mm.
all the new Hillman that came on my shift, they came under me, and I always remember that I said to one chap, he was an Irish man, that he'd never make a hillman, and he got rather aerated, was going to punch me on top of the nose, and I said I would go out to Jessup and Goffs and report him immediately. And
they were solicitors in the town, weren't they?
Yes.
Oh yes. Mm. So that stopped him, did it?
So he didn't have more, but when he did ultimately come to onto the hill as a trained hillman, as he thought, he came with me, and of course there were two nitrators in the house. While one was nitrating, one man was nitrating on that, whilst the other man was getting the other one to do a charge.
Yeah.
That was his job, the second man.
Mm.
And course he didn't know what to do, and when I gently reminded him that I told you you wouldn't be any use, and you're not. You've asked me so many questions about what to do, which he had to admit that he didn't pay enough attention to when he was training.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they...
And then, of course, I was transferred to ROF Bishopton. Some of us had a letter saying...
When would that be? Would that be before the war?
Yeah, 1940.
Oh, yes. So you had a letter?
Some of us had a letter telling us that in January 1940 we would be transferred to ROF Bishopton. And that other people, the unions got annoyed because they weren't asked, but what happened was those who got a letter had to go and the others had to apply. But unfortunately, some of them that were sent were pretty useless. And when they got to Bishopton, they were no use at all, really. In fact, I was disgusted with them. And then, of course, I was an assistant foreman for a while. And then, after a time, we got made up to principal foreman, and they were Gossett and Henderson. And my number was 2501. And I was the...
As you can remember things. That number, all those years back, you still remember the number. Yeah.
And then the other two, they had to go to Paul in Dorset because there was a similar factory in Dorset.
Paul?
Near Eastbourne, on that coast.
Sussex. Eastbourne. Yes.
I can't remember that name, but they were sent there to train. Because when I was transferred to Bishopton, I went on the
SC. What's that, Halton Heath?
Halton Heath.
Oh, yes.
Soldiers' Cordite, Russian Soldiers' Cordite, we were doing then. And I knew nothing about that, neither did they. And they were sent there to learn, and I wasn't sent. And I asked the question why I didn't go, because I wanted a week or two at Halton.
Oh, yes.
But I was told there was no need for me to go. I got enough sense, and this is true, sense to know it.
Be useful at Bishopton, this one. Yes. Was the work at Bishopton very similar to water?
Oh, the
NG and things?
Oh, yes, but there was only one nitrator in the house there because they said that if one nitrator went up, they would lose two. And that's why they had three nitrators in Bishopton, single nitrators, but it was exactly the same process. Whereas in Waltham they had two nitrators, and
they were close together, I suppose.
Oh, well, yeah. They stood next door to each other. And as I say, one was nitrating, one got the acid out into the eggs, into the egg house.
Oh, yes.
And that was pumped down to the acid factory, and then they had to bring the mixed acid in, which was about 7,000 pound of acid, I think it was, if I remember the figures.
Well, big charge. That's a lot.
And the charges were each jar. They were sent down in sections. Three charges. What were they?
About
1,000
pound.
1,500 pound. Oh, yeah. And then I should have said, rather disjointed, I missed out that from the nitrate house, asses were sent down lead gutters to the mixing houses. So in the mixing house.
You mean the nitroglycerine was sent down?
Nitroglycerine.
Oh, yes.
Into the mixing house where there were lead burettes. You sent the charge down 1,500 pounds. Then they had to fill in the burette, which was about 15 or 19 pounds, and pour it onto the gun cotton and mix it. Of course, that's when the quinine stoves came into use,
I think those lead burettes, that was one of the things that I think old Arthur Whitten in the plumbers used to be good at lead work, didn't he? Anyway, yes, the quinine stoves, what about those? They were relatively new, weren't they, the quinine buildings?
Oh, they were quinine. The gun cotton was not dried in a stove, it was dried in pans. On one night, Hextall, who was the foreman on the SC side,
Alan Hextall?
Alan Hextall.
Oh, yes.
And the Captain Hyde was his scientist. I went into the canteen this particular night. Well, I went into the quinine stoves, four of them. They were all blown away and nobody in attendance at all. So I went to the canteen where I read the Right Act, which I did during the war. I was expected a knife in my back quite often, but I unfortunately never got
You're
one.
Still here, yeah.
And told some of them to get back. And Captain Hyde had always said, we allow it. Mr. Hetzel and I allow that. He said, we don't see why. So I took no notice of him and I reported him to Mr. Starks, who was the chemist in charge. Mr. Pride got moved, Captain Pride got moved, and had I reported Hextall as well, he would have lost his job. But he was a friend of mine, as I thought, but he got a wigging.
Temper, justice,
and
mercy. he got a wigging.
We always do that. I said, well, you should never do that, Alan. No. I said, you ought to know better. He said, well, Captain Pryor. I said, damn Captain Pryor. I said, but you see, I was always in charge, not the chemist.
Yeah.
And nobody could get by me. No chemist.
Yeah.
Blades, he was... he's on that photo. He's sitting with his hands on his knee. He tried to take over and I said, look, Mr. Blades, you're here for the technical side. I'm here in charge of labour, not you. So please.
The quinine stoves, they dried quicker, did they? Were they more efficient?
They were less... more efficient because they were smaller amounts of gun cotton dried.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
They would.
They're still there. The hot, round top buildings, aren't they?
Yes.
Like round tops.
The
still
pans,
there.
Roughly, I think, are about less than 3 foot across, but nearly that, and about two or three inches
deep. Oh, yes.
And,
they're down a long row, aren't they? Down a long row.
Yes. Six either side, I think they were.
Oh, yeah.
And you put the tip the thing out and tip the that and so it's even and not lumpy and that and the same thickness all over.
Yeah, that's good. When did you shortly after this? I think when you got onto the safety section, was it? Because you spent a long time. You were back at were these quinines at Bishop and Waltham? They're Waltham, weren't they?
At Waltham.
Yes. And did they have them at
Well, they're four at Bishop.
Oh, these are the Bishop the ones you're talking about.
Yeah. because they let the Waltham one was just an experiment.
Oh yeah.
But the Bishop ones were four. There was one or two. I wasn't there then when the explosions. There was one mixing house that went up, but I was home then. I went, but one of the mixing houses went up. I said to my wife, I said, there's an explosion. Bishopton. She said, how do you know? I said, I've just heard it. And in the nitrate, you know, I know I missed out these on nitrate house. They put too much acid in and it ran over the top of the nitrate, all on the floor. We're like a lot of rabbits trying to square it up before anybody came to see it.
Did you succeed? Did anybody find out?
No.
No. Then when did you?
I didn't want to come back from Bishopton.
No.
But my wife did, and I was furious. It's getting on more personal things now, and. I remember one night we'd been to visit her parents and she came out and she said, oh, you are miserable tonight. I said, well, Luz, I said, I could go and throw myself in the river. And I'm not afraid to say this. I said, I had a damn good job. I said, and I've come back here. Well, I've got to start at the bottom again. And because of my experience, this is why I got on the safety section.
You really came back because your wife really wanted to come back. Yes, oh yeah.
A mother and father.
Yeah.
And he was an old so-and-so. Had it been today, it wouldn't have happened. We'd have divorced.
Yes, yeah.
But in those days, you didn't do that.
Death has to part and all that then, wasn't it? Yes.
You didn't do that.
Well, you were adopted, weren't you, as a
yes,
child?
Oh, yes. 3 months old.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, not many people know that, anyway. No.
Oh, yeah. And then you got on to, you were on the safety section, you stayed on that on your last stint at Waltham. Yeah. That's when, of course, when I got to know you.
It took 25 years I was on that.
Were you? 25 years.
So I soon got rapid promotion. They kept saying, oh, Nichols will get that, and Nichols will get that. And Nichols did get it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I knew you were a stickler for the rules, you know. I used to say, we can't put any fast ones over old Alf, you know.
It was for the safety
angle, yes. Yeah. But, I mean, if you didn't like something, you always recommended the best way that you would like it
always,
done.
Always
yeah.
able to give you advice.
That's right. Yeah.
At least I try to.
Yeah.
And as you know, I was a senior assistant. And then, of course, what made me more wild, when I retired, when Griff was the safety officer, that chap got promotion.
Yeah.
And Gravener suggested to Cole that I got another grade up. Oh, no, he said. Because Carl didn't like me for the simple reason that Gravener told me things and not Carl.
Oh.
And it caused that friction. And I suffered. But I didn't do too badly. I know all this. And
Well, you kept to your routine. You know, you... you were always doing the rounds. And if we wanted to, you only got to ring up and you were over there. It's you were very efficient on the job, I always thought. But but of course they do.
Gravener left most everything to me.
Yes.
Audie used to say, Dr. Goodenough would phone up and he'd say, have a word with Mr. Nichols.
Yes.
He did, and that's the truth. And then I had to go along, Dr. Goodenough, yes. Oh, my name's Nichols, so I believe you've got a problem. Oh, yes. I said, well, Mr. Gravener sent me along.
Yes. Well, there is a saying that the good foreman is never popular. And that's so true, isn't it? A popular foreman is never as efficient, really, as one who sort of just keeps a little bit aloof of
things. That's why in Bishopton I was... Well, I'm not just saying this, it was true. I mean...
Yes.
I was considered the best foreman of the three.
Yes.
And I had the best shift of the three.
Yeah.
And I remember we had a chemist in charge whose name was Gull. And he said to me, oh, Nichols, he said, looking on your labour list, he said, I notice you're 100 people short. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, according to the other shifts, I've got 100 people, because we had about 700 on shift. And he said, you're 100 people short. I said, but I'm not. I said, am I not getting the production out? Oh, yes, he said. I said, well, I don't want any more. Well, then he sent me 100 people. Well, then you've got to clothe them.
Was this a Bishopton?
A Bishopton, yeah. 100 people on the shift in Waltham. It means that you've got to close them, waste time, and then my production. Then, of course, after a fortnight, Gull said to me, your production's down, Nichols. I said, yes, well, I said, you send me people that I don't want. I said, I'm running a press with two in. I said, and we've got three in, four. I said, and they're chatting, whereas I had two, and they hadn't got time to chat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, he said, I hadn't thought of that. I said, well, you should ask me about it before you do things.
Well, did you come across, in your experience, any blatant examples of misdemeanors, you know, of... rules being broken? Because I know these things like singing and whistling and that were found on, weren't they?
They were having a bit in the back of the building. I went in the one office, there was a check for, he was an assistant foreman. And he had a charge hand with whom he was very friendly. And Reddy, his name was, has just come back to me. And I opened the door and there he was performing on the floor.
Yeah.
Blaze was with me. I said, carry on, Rennie, I'll see you later. And shut the door.
Yeah.
So Blade said, are you going to tell him off? I said, no, not now. I said, I'll tell him off later in my office.
Was this Charge Andy's girlfriend then?
Yes, she was married.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so he said, I said, I'll tell him later. Let him stew for a while. So then towards the end of the shift, I phoned him out already. Will you come down to my office? He said, I know what it's about. I said, you don't know anything kind.
Yeah.
I said, I want you down here. I said, now. I said, if I ever catch you again, you'll be out. I said, I'll tell you that for nothing. I said, I've got the power to discharge you or anybody. So I said, you can do what you like. I said, it's your business, but not in the factory.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Nichols. He said, I said, it was a bit. I said, well.
Was this be on night work? Was this?
Well, second shift or night shift.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, yes, there used to be lots of tales of that sort of thing. But were you ever associated with an incident that I never saw it directly, of course, or heard of it at the time, but somebody fell into one of the acid tanks?
I don't ever remember that.
No.
Not in Bishopton.
Oh, no, of course, I think this had happened while you were at Bishopton, yes.
Yes.
He's supposed to have taken a shortcut across one of the sunken acid tanks
right,
and
that broke
through. Yes. Mm. Oh, yeah. But, oh, well, that's... and then, yes, you retired in 74.
December 74.
Oh, yes. So, yes, come 25 years.
Yes. Griff didn't want me to go.
Mm.
When I sent the letter, and he was very disappointed, he said, oh, he said, I thought you'd stay on till 70.
Mm.
I said, well, I said, Lucy's not very well. I said, and I think she needs me at home.
Yeah.
And I retired in 74 and she died in May.
Oh, yeah.
Buried, cancer of the lymph gland. Then I married again in 76 and 10 years after that she had cancer of the breast.
Oh.
So I've been on my own since 86. So I haven't had an easy life.
No.
And I get lonely sometimes, but I keep fairly cheerful.
Yes,
I don't think I've said really, like, or sat down and thought, it's a bit disjointed, I think.
These sort of things always are, but it doesn't matter, it's all in there somewhere, you know, it's a...
Well, he came to, I was, Chapman was, he was a nice gentleman from Glasgow, and I used to go to his place, and he used to come to ours and his wife, and Arnold Wilson, he was another chemist with whom I'm still friends.
They're not on that photograph. Those people aren't on that photograph.
No.
No, that doesn't matter, yeah.
No, it was Blades I'm with them, not That was 43. Wilson just came out of university, and he came and he had a come with me and
used to meet socially. Yes.
And then we got. Well, he came and stayed with us for a week down here, but he got married, and I haven't written him. I owe him a letter, really, if I'm honest, I think, well, what's the point, really?
Mm.
And I think he's got a boy now he didn't have. And he got not snobbish, but he didn't seem to want. But Chapman was the chap that I really liked. It was Blades, so he's on there, Blades.
Mm.
And then the other chap, I don't remember him, he was a chemist. He was on the wet mix side.
Yes, you went to Bishopton in 1940, didn't you?
Yes.
And I didn't join the place until 1940, so I didn't know you
and
during the war.
And the explosions happened
in that time, yes. Mm. Yeah.
Of course, that's what I said.
About three explosions.
As soon as I leave, there's an explosion.
Oh, dear.
Well, in jest, really.
Yes, of course. Shortly after I left, the place closed down. Of course, I made the same remark.
Well, I won't say it because it's rude and I'll work off at a night. Don't want to get too personal.
Oh, lovely. Yes. But anyway, it's you know, I think you've done very well. It's a very lucid account and covers a
I wish they had put it together better. It's a long time to remember.
It's a very difficult to talk into a tape recorder.
Wanted to start and start then start when I went to Big Brother.
Oh, yes.
And keep each subject separate.
Oh, well, that's a separate.
You can't remember everything. Something comes up.
That's it.
And
did you live in, you were brought up in Waltham Abbey?
I've lived here 82 years. Oh, yes. 82 years.
And you went to King, the school was
Quaker Lane.
Quaker Lane, yes. Oh, yeah.
But I've educated myself quite a bit since then.
Oh, yes.
I'm not any fool now. I never was, but I'm better now than I was.
Yeah, well, quite frankly, you haven't changed, you know, as a personality since I saw you during the 60s and 70s.
Everyone says you're a marvel. I don't know why they say it, but I don't think I am, but I don't remember as well as I ought.
You're an example to many, I'll tell you. Oh, well, anyway, thanks very much, Alf, and I think we'll sign off now, and thanks very much for your...
Well, it's a pleasure. I mean, I believe, well, if people need help and want advice, well, I'm willing to give it.
That's... Well, you've certainly helped help the records, that one. Right, okay then.
And when are you going to use this stuff? Will you use it? Or the, as